Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Very good.
Very good.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Well, here we are on the brink of Thanksgiving. Gentlemen, in preparation for our Advent study, which we'll launch here in a couple weeks, it's that time of pregnancy, you know, we're expecting for Christmas the birth of Messiah, for us, right, the second coming is kind of those preparations, the time of spiritual reflection. Kind of to prepare for that preparation time, right? For today's edition, Word Made Flesh, I like to have us think about how we're doing in our walk with Christ. I think it's important that we occasionally reflect on that, particularly at this time of year, because in preparation during Advent, we have specifics on what we are working toward. Does that make any sense? The scripture text I like to have us look at comes from the second letter of John, verses 4 through 6. So could I have someone graciously read 2 John, verses 4 through 6.
It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching of both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your home or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work.
All right, thank you. All right, John, if we were to look at kind of that verse 5 and 6, it's kind of central to what we're looking at today. All right. Let us love one another is the end of 5. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments, which basically is love one another. Right? So loving one another ought to be our walk. Right? It's a little different. And so if we think about our Christian life, that ought to be a dynamic pilgrimage of self-giving love. Paul would speak of Jesus in Philippians 2 on emptying himself, giving himself away to others. That's very different than kind of our comfortable resting place in a contemporary world that serves self, right? How are you doing with that walk? That's what I'd really like to focus on today. Can you share with our listening audience? We go around the room and just share with how that walk's going. And I've said it before, and I'll say it here. It's simple. You would think, love one another. Love God, love neighbor. You know, love one another. That's the commandment, right? Fulfills everything else. Sounds simple. I have to believe, I know in my own life, that's not always easy. So who would like to go first? You want to share a little bit about how you're doing with your walk in truth, your walk in love, your walk with Christ?
I've been tested of late. I could be doing better. A lot of walking in truth, some days less so in love. Because sometimes the hard truth is that some people don't want to love you any more than they want to love themselves. Something that always in you that always wants to hurt back, that makes this walk seem like a tightrope sometimes. And, instead of, when they say, you find yourself looking at your sin instead of the Savior. That's what I'm trying to do right now. It's not just to want good things to happen to people who don't care what happens to you. It is growing, but in the end, it's going to be worth it. I look forward reaching that finish line.
So, thank you very much for that transparent honesty. I think it probably epitomizes all of us at some point or another. I think we've all bumped into some folks that we may have negative thoughts or maybe even negative feelings towards, and not so positive wishes and desires, right? Couple things, what I hear you saying. You use the word, I'm being tested, all right? And I don't know how many times, gentlemen, you've heard me say in here that there are other guests in this house who will help make you a better Christian. So if you step back a little bit and you say, well, I'm being tested, well, then God's really working on me. God's a God, right? It's one thing to have the playbook, but if you don't get on the field and do some practicing, you're not going to do very well in the game. All right? That's what practice is for. So one, I encourage you to see that the testing, as frustrating as it may feel emotionally and everything, is God trying to strengthen you. All right? Secondly, let us not think that because the agape, the love commandment that we're trying to live out towards another, that is required to be reciprocated. All right? We don't do it because we want the kudos back. We don't want it to be reciprocated. Well, what do you mean? I'm doing your laundry, we're feeding your food, I sit down, I listen to your stories, I try to give you some insight, some encouragement and everything, and then you just want to bite me in the back? Right, those type of metaphors that happen here often, right, might reveal to us, we may have to look deeper in ourselves, well, what is it about this person that's really touching the nerve with me? Because it's my nerve that's being touched. And we're responsible for our nerves. All right? So one, we need to do that. Two is, we love them anyways. I mean, they torture and they execute Jesus, and he speaks from the cross, forgive them. For they know not what they're doing. And sometimes people who are, when we're trying to love them, aren't receiving it too well because they themselves don't. So take that as you continue your walk there. Anybody else?
I think we often think of loving others as doing something for them. But then there's the other side of it that tends to be more difficult is having to say no or setting up boundaries in relationships.
Yeah, we say in here sometimes the most loving, compassionate thing you can do is say no. We see it with parents and young kids all the time. Sorry, Johnny, you cannot play kickball in the road. All right, we put little locks on our cabinets because we don't want our children getting into the poisons, chemicals and things, right? I mean, we don't do it because we're trying to punish them. No, we're doing it because we love them, right? And sometimes loving people means saying no. And it can be difficult. It can be difficult.
The thing for me, my walk thing, like sometimes I'm supposed to be quick to make amends. Sometimes it's best to let it marinate, let it air out, and revisit it. Sometimes, like we were talking about text earlier, even in relationships I have, outside of here, it's sometimes best just to give that 5 or 10 minutes, or even the next day. Like, it's not, we don't need to address the wound right away. Sometimes it's best just to let it, And then I always ask myself, like, what good will come of this, or what? Am I really willing somebody's good if I go at this right now, or is this going to make it worse? Or they're gonna make it worse for me. Like, you're just really analyzing the situation and how best to come at it, because sometimes we can make it worse. We think we're showing love when we're doing this, and we're making it worse on everybody, stressing ourselves out, messing up,
Yeah, and particularly when you have that, when your emotions are charged.
It's really
difficult to allow that loving expression to come through if the emotions start having their way. I think we'd all agree that there's times where we need to back away.
Well, what do they say? Patience comes. Good things come. Good things come to those. What is that saying?
Who wait?
Those who wait.
So hurry up and wait. So I gotta hurry up and wait.
Yeah. sure sign of maturity, though, when you start to take a minute and ask yourself, what is my motivation in wanting to fix this right now?
Yeah.
You know, am I being impatient or whatever? It reminds me of...
Or is it to make us feel better?
Right, or to prove ourselves right.
Yeah,
it's about us, yeah.
Yeah, I want help and I want to really hurt.
Yeah, or if my feelings hurt, well, who do I think I am anyways? So I'm not, my feelings aren't supposed to get hurt. I'm one of those people.
I think too, my walk is this idea of getting caught up in problems you see all the time, and then when somebody else is new for them and they bring it up, you're just like, you want to just blow it off. Like, what do you, we've been dealing with this forever, so I'm done. I don't want to hear it anymore kind of thing. So you get caught up in the I guess we want to say our first world problems, and you know, and that when people start complaining about it, it's new to them. We just kind of throw it to the side because we've been dealing with it, and so you can just deal with it is the kind of answer, instead of having a real conversation, because that's new for them, and really working with somebody on those issues. And sometimes it can be overwhelming when you sit back and you go home that next day and that evening, and you start thinking about it, man, did I handle these situations the right way?
I'm glad you shared that, because in all honesty, if we look close enough to the gospel narratives, we almost see Jesus doing that. Look, can't you see? Didn't I tell you about the fig tree? Right? Can't you hear what I'm telling you? You know, get behind me, Satan. It's almost as if he gets frustrated because he's telling him over and over, I'm not lying to you. I am who I say I am. And for some odd reason, you're still not convinced. Which then I think you're right, Tim, in the sense that I have to create some space. I'm going to this mountaintop to pray.
Yeah, I'll go get a sandwich real quick.
You know what I mean? It's all. So I think it's fair. You know, we should look at it like that, because then I think it... You know, if we can see Jesus sometimes, he can get a little frustrated.
Yeah.
All right? That's okay for us, too. But I think we also have to handle it, mm-hmm. kind of like he did. And there probably are times we need that little respite to kind of recharge and go, okay, now, I've been down this road a few times with you before. Where are we at now? Let's go here again. Maybe we make a different turn this time. Whatever, right? Just carry on the metaphor. Anybody else?
I don't know, I always like the way you put, and Mark does that in his gospel, that the human side of Jesus. It makes me feel like I got the chance. Sometimes I get frustrated, sometimes I have to go back to something the 17th time and try to get it right. It's like, the human side, that Emmanuel, he was with us. He was us. He went through it just like us. So it gives me a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Not that, when before in the beginning, I was like, well, I'm this piece of crap, I've done all this, I don't deserve this. Now it's like, no, I can do this because he did this. And he went to the same emotions, but he didn't have to go run and go get drunk about it or go get high about it. Eric said a while ago about some days just being sober. Like for me, it's like when I have a really rough day and it's like nothing can, it's one thing after another. And then the day I lay down, it's like, well, I didn't get high. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get drunk. That's a win. Mm-hmm. Like I feel more encouraged and strengthened and inspired to the next day get even better. You know, those storms, I think that's what the storms are for. You know?
The kid metaphor, the walking metaphor is really sticking with me in the beginning of this. You know, in 7 he goes on to talk about, you know, this true message of meeting this Christ in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And I think here, through recovery, through this ministry, we really get such a chance. Every one of us is, a huge percentage of us, try to get into recovery through other means. And all of a sudden we meet this Christ in the flesh and it's like a light comes on. This works. This is the strength that I never got through any other kind of, be it a 12-step, be it a traditional rehab, whatever the case was. And this walking metaphor and this, it just, I don't know, it sticks with me this morning of like, you know what, it's not going to be easy, you're going to be wobbly, fall down, bump your head, what have you, but this, you meet this Christ in flesh and it's all of a sudden you start to get it.
Very good, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of your insights, and hopefully that was a blessing to our listening audience. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.